brought to you by Penguin.
The Histories by Herodotus, translated by Tom Holland and read by Frank Laverty, with an introduction by Paul Cartledge, read by Roy McMillan.
Both for ease of listening and because it contains details of the plot, we've placed the introduction to this Penguin classic at the end of the audiobook.
Book 1. Herodotus from Halicarnassus here displays his inquiries that human achievement may be spared the ravages of time, and that everything great and astounding, and all the glory of those exploits which serve to display Greeks and barbarians alike to such effect, be kept alive, and additionally, and most importantly, to give the reason they went to war. Well-informed Persian commentators pin the blame for the clash on the Phoenicians. These were a people who originally came from the Red Sea, as we term it, to this sea of ours. And no sooner had they settled in the country which remains their homeland up to the present day than they began investing heavily in the long-distance shipping business, exporting goods from Egypt and Assyria to a wide variety of markets. Preeminent among these was Argos, the city which at the time was the leading power, by any reckoning you care to mention, in the land which is now called Greece. There the Phoenicians arrived in Argos and duly set out their wares. 5 or 6 days later, with almost everything sold, a large group of women came down to the shore, and among them was the daughter of the king. Inachos, he was called, and his child's name was Io. On that much, at any rate, both the Greek and the Persian sources are agreed. These women were standing around the ship's stern, haggling over the various items that had particularly caught their fancy, when the Phoenicians, who had already tipped the nod to one another, made a sudden rush at them. Most of the women got away, but a few were seized, and one of them was Io. Into the hold the captives were bundled, up came the anchor, and off sailed the ship for Egypt. This, although the Greeks tell a different version of the story, is the Persians' account of how Io came to end up in Egypt, the first of many crimes. Next, they say, came the reprisal. Some Greeks docked at the Phoenician city of Tyre and abducted the king's daughter, Europa. It is likely, although the Persians themselves are not certain as to their identity, that these pirates were Cretan. So far, they say, so even. But then the Greeks committed a second outrage. Off they sailed in a longship to Ea, in Colchis, to the Phasis River, where they had no sooner completed the mission that had originally brought them there than they were kidnapping the king's daughter, Medea. The king of Colchis sent a herald to Greece to demand his daughter back, along with restitution for her abduction. But the Greeks refused, answering that since no reparations had ever been received from the kidnappers of Io, the Argive princess, they certainly had no intention of handing over any to the Colchians. A generation now passed, we are told, and then Priam's son, Paris, who had picked up on the story, decided that he might as well steal a Greek wife for himself, since the Greeks, who had never paid reparations to anyone, would hardly be in any position to demand satisfaction from him. The result was the rape of Helen. The Greeks' initial response was to send out the usual messengers insisting on her return, together with compensation for her kidnapping. No sooner had they made these demands, however, than they were met with the inevitable riposte. Had not Medea likewise been abducted? How could the Greeks possibly expect compensation from others, they were asked, when they had refused point-blank to pay any themselves, and would not even give back Medea no matter how often the demand was made? There followed next a massive escalation of what until then had essentially been nothing more serious than a bout of competitive princess rustling, and the fault was all the Greeks, or so the Persians claim at any rate. For they point out that long before they ever thought of invading Europe, it was the Greeks who invaded Asia. Granted, the Persians acknowledge, stealing women is never acceptable behavior. But really, they ask, what is the point, once a woman has been stolen, in kicking up a great fuss about it, and pursuing some ridiculous vendetta, when every sensible man knows that the best policy is to affect an utter lack of concern? It is clear enough, after all, that women are never...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?